Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm Rachel True.
And I'm Trent Venegas.
And you're listening to Quoting Gene Roddenberry,
the 100-day podcast that celebrates what would have been the 100th birthday of the man that created Star Trek.
Each day between now and the end of our podcast,
August 19th,
one of Star Trek's biggest icons,
or celebrity fans,
or both, will be quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Then we're going to take a deep dive into why we think this sci-fi legend still has a lot to say to the world. Today's quote is read by Star Trek The Next Generation star, the absolutely legendary Whoopi Goldberg.
No, ancient astronauts did not build pyramids. Human beings built them because they're clever and they work hard. And Star Trek is all about those things.
Welcome back to our podcast, Quoting Gene Roddenberry. We are lucky enough to have Tamara Krinsky, Emmy award-winning writer-actor Tamara Krinsky. And I'm just going to jump in and say I love this quote so much. Mm-hmm. And it may confuse some people that the man who created Star Trek is saying, no, that wasn't science fiction. But I personally love this quote because as a child, right, the space program was kind of a big deal,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I see why we tied. It's the aliens that built our pyramids and all this stuff because we were so hungry to go to outer space and meet aliens. But the truth is it's based in racism, and that's the God's honest truth, because if those pyramids were sitting in the middle of England or France, it would be how great our white European forefathers were. But because they were on the continent of Africa, we like to go, no, then black people could not have created that. And that is why it is so amazing that Whoopi Goldberg is reading this quote. I love her so much. All right, I'm going to shut up now and let someone else. Tamara, what's your thoughts on this quote?
First, I just have to say how much I love Whoopi Goldberg so, so much. Mm. I grew up watching, this is going to date me. I had a VHS tape of her Broadway show.
And wow.
I would just watch it.
Me too, Tamara. Me too. The one with the hair. Sorry, guys.
The one with the hair.
The one with the hair.
Okay, so I'm like, you all can't see me, but I'm a white girl explaining this, so we'll just get that out of the way. She had this. It's basically a show that consists
1984 was the show on Broadway, by the way.
And it was four monologues, and one of them was about her wanting to be white. And the whole sort of gimmick of it was that, or through line of it was that she talked about how she would take this white t-shirt and she would put it on her head and pretend that was her long blonde hair. And she
long, luxurious blonde hair. But Tamara, I don't remember her saying in that monologue, and I'll have to go back and listen to it. Did she want to be white or did she just want long, luxurious blonde hair?
I'll have to go back and listen to it, but I do remember a particular phrase about, I can remember the way she said white, but it's been a while since I've listened to it, so I do not want to get that wrong. I do not want to get anything with Whoopi
Wrong. I love that you know that show, because this is the show Steven Spielberg discovered her. Well, she's already on Broadway, right? So she was successful. But this is the show that got her color purple.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Which goes back to this quote and this idea of being clever and working hard, which is why she's the perfect person to talk about this, right?
Well, it is interesting that Gene Roddenberry, one of the kings of sci-fi, is rejecting, or at least not rejecting, but he's not co-opting this idea that a lot of other sci-fi writers do about this whole idea that aliens came to this planet, you know, millions of years ago and taught humans how to build pyramids. That's why there are pyramids in Egypt, and that's why there are pyramids in Central America. And that must be the connection, because it's aliens. Like that.
This ain't no Stargate.
Yeah, like that is a trope that sci-fi does often. And Gene Roddenberry is saying no. In one of our earlier quotes, he talked about his love affair with humanity. And this is another one of his quotes where he's making that very, very clear that not only does he love and respect humanity, but he wants to make sure that we give ourselves credit for as smart and clever and hardworking as we can be, as we are. And I've always been fascinated with like the pyramids and all of that. And it's funny because it never occurred to me that, like, why I don't understand the idea of why we think that, or why some people would think or tell the stories that aliens are responsible for the pyramids, when we see what we have created in our modern times, like our modern buildings and skyscrapers and all of the things that humans have achieved in, you know, the small blip of time that we've been on this planet so far. It doesn't surprise me, especially when you consider how hardworking we can be if we work as a community. Although I do realize that the Egyptian pyramids weren't necessarily built on community, they were built on slavery, let's be honest about that. But human beings are clever, and we are capable of more.
One of my favorite things about all these quotes, though, from Mr. Roddenberry is his belief and faith mm-hmm. in humans, mm-hmm. right? Because I don't know when this quote was from, but many of these other quotes are like, no, humans, you got it. We'll get this. By this time, we'll have dealt with these petty mm-hmm. things that we're dealing mm-hmm. with. And in this quote, so you're saying, like, human beings built them because we're clever and we work hard and we will build even bigger and better things. And it also reminds me that we forget that the ancient Romans had aqueducts with toilets and water. Mm-hmm. And then all that shit was lost. Right? Yeah. Pioneers were walking yeah. around with like a chair and a thing underneath to go in. And so we have lost and gained many old skills mm-hmm. over the years. Mm-hmm. And this harkens to that. Because I always think it's weird that, like, the Dark Ages, all that we learned before that kind of went away.
Yeah. Lost yeah. in time. Yeah.
But I think that brings up a really interesting connection to the Star Trek universe in general, which is this idea of the connection between science and science fiction mm-hmm. and knowledge, because, you know, so many scientists have talked about how watching Star Trek inspired them to go into engineering, to go into space, mm-hmm. to go into physics. Mm-hmm. And so this idea, in some ways, that Mr. Roddenberry would say, no, it's human ingenuity, kind of makes sense, because yeah. you see that infused in all of the Star Trek world.
Yeah. And when you're writing in science fiction, even though it is fictional science, it has to make kind of sense for you to believe it. One of our earlier guests, Mary Chifo, she mentioned when she guest hosted with us that one of her very good friends dedicated her master's thesis to Captain Catherine Janeway because she was so inspired by the character of Star Trek's first female captain in a series that she dedicated her thesis to that fictional character, which I think speaks a lot about how much science fiction can inspire actual scientists to not only bring that science fiction to reality, but to maybe inspire them to think even beyond that and discover something even greater than what the stories were.
So two quick things. So one is one of my favorite quotes that I'm totally going to paraphrase and do badly is the idea that good science fiction creates a world that sets up a series of rules. And then it follows those rules so that you can then take the what if leap with them.
Yeah.
You have to keep that what if world that you have to keep those rules consistent.
Right.
So that we as the audience will go on the leap of what if and suspend our disbelief for wherever you go with it. So that's one thing. And I really do believe that about, I think the best sci-fi operates in that way. The yeah. other thing I was going to say is there's one of the organizations that I've worked with here in Hollywood. There's a group called the Science and Entertainment Exchange. Mm. And they are a program of the National Academy of Sciences, which is actually a private group. It sounds governmental. It's not. But they are an incredible organization where they connect scientists to do consultations with writers and directors and producers who are creating things that, you know, it can be anything from, you know, a CSI that is setting up a new forensics room and needs a forensic scientist just to kind of take a look at their set design mm-hmm. to, you know, movies that deal with physics like Ant-Man. And they wow. want to talk about the multiverse and how that might work and things down at the quantum physics level. And the amazing thing is, you know, I've interviewed some of these scientists, I've sat in and talked about their consultations with them, is that depending on how they want to use them, so much of the time they'll put something that is a real piece of science out there and then the writer, she'll take it, she'll run with it, and that informs the story.
Wow.
So it's exactly what you're talking about, Trent.
That's
Tamara,
fantastic.
Have you ever interviewed my friend Bill Prady? He's one of the producers of The Big Bang Theory.
I have, yeah.
Yeah, he's a great guy. And literally, I love how he nerds out, not over any actors who've been on the show. It is the scientists.
Well,
that he is the luxury of meeting via the through the show.
That's the funny thing about these events. Like, you go and they'll have, you know, sort of a round robin where sometimes they do what they call science speed dating, where they will bring, you know, eight different scientists and the audience is all storytellers and we'll rotate room to room. I mean, this was, of course, in the before times when we could be in the same room. But we'll rotate room to room and you'll get like a 7-minute, you know, glimpse into what their research is. And it's so funny because you can tell when one of the scientists says something that is sort of has an interesting germ of a story idea, because all of a sudden you kind of hear this collective like, and or like you'll hear pencils start scratching or things start tapping. And
that's so great.
The other thing people forget, or I'm sorry to jump in, but I want to say, like, when I was a kid and I'd be in science class and you're taught something and I thought it was facts, the rules, the name of that dinosaur is that, mm-hmm. the name of this thing is, you know, newly discovered thing is this. And then as I grew older, everything changed. Mm-hmm. I realized as an adult, like, science is theory.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, most of science is very theoretical. So it kind of goes hand in hand that science fiction and science would be so tied. But listen, I want to round this because you touched on it, Trent, and because I'm Black, I'm going to harp on this. Part of why it was so easy to say the pyramids were aliens and all these things is because I do find it's very easy to disparage societies, you know, who didn't have the same kind of written down culture the way Eurocentric things. Like, everything I was taught in school was Eurocentric, mm-hmm. hands mm-hmm. down, everything, to the fact that in my textbooks it said slaves like slavery because they had houses. Mm-hmm. So this is important to realize and to start putting together the pieces, because it's so easy as a little kid to go, it's just because we got on the moon and that's why we thought everything was aliens. But it's a little more insidious than that quite often in life about why we disparage the accomplishments of brown people. And soapbox scene. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think there's also, I mean, there's something in there too about the idea that there are all different kinds of wisdom in the world, right? You know, you mentioned before, like, there's book knowledge. There are things that we write down. There's wisdom that's passed through oral tradition. Yes. There's wisdom that's passed through pictorial tradition. There's, I mean, when you look at the indigenous communities here in the United States and the different ways they have of healing, and they're, unfortunately, in our lovely country's history and in white history, there has been a devaluing of that. And I'm very happy to see some of that starting to be corrected. We still got a long, long way to go, but we're freaking talking about it,
yes,
right?
Like, exactly right.
We're having the conversations now, and I said, no matter what your politics is, I'm not asking if you voted or didn't vote for this person, but I would say that horrible orange thing that happened, right, which I thought was terrible, but it put it right in front of people's eyes, because I've spent my entire life going, hey, you guys, this thing happened to me and it's kind of racist. And a lot of my white peers were like, no, it didn't. And you can't say no, it didn't anymore.
Right. Right.
You have to say it's here. It's in front of my face. I can't ignore it. And I don't mean to get heavy at the end of this, because this quote was read by the very amazing and comedic Whoopi Goldberg. It's just, you know, I have this platform now, right? Yeah. And so I feel inspired to speak up about it, because there may be someone listening who's like, oh, wow, I never thought about why it was so easy to go, a human couldn't build that, certainly not in Africa. Mm-hmm. You know, just food for thought, you guys. Any last thoughts, both of you, before we wrap this episode up?
The one last thing I want to say is I'm very excited that that Whoopi read this quote for us. And I'm also very excited that she's reprising her role as Guinan in Picard season 2. So we have more Whoopi to look forward to in the Star Trek universe. So I'm very excited about that.
Same. I totally agree. I love that characters come back. It makes me so happy.
Yeah.
No, me too. Whenever I'd watch her, I'd be like, I want to be baby Guinan. I just love her. But I've let her entire career
absolutely
is a testament to tenacity. Because she's been canceled a few times, frankly, over the years, before social media, you know, or actually after social media too. So she is, to me, an ultimate survivor in life and in Hollywood. Anyway, we want to thank you guys so much for joining us. And if you want to see the video of my idol and so many others' idol, Whoopi Goldberg, read this quote. Trent, tell them where to go.
You can check out our videos on our official Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we have Tamara with us all week. So we hope you join us again for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's quote. So tweet us, post us, DM us, whatever.
We're at Roddenberry on Twitter and Facebook and at Roddenberry Official on Instagram.
Quoting Gene Roddenberry is a Roddenberry podcast hosted by me, Rachel True.
And me, Trent Venegas. Producing are Claire Kramer and Kelsey Goldberg, with executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Engineering and editing are provided by Elizabeth Joy Windham.
And special thanks to all those who were kind enough to read a quote and give a voice to Gene Roddenberry's everlasting words.
Live long and prosper.